Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live from the book, Harris Cherokee and Harris in Cherokee, North Carolina. The book will be opening. I mean, we got the big scissors out, just about to cut that ribbon. Here previewing the book ahead of Super Bowl weekend. Again, Harris Cherokee and Cherokee, North Carolina, live sports wagering, collegiate and pro sports. That's what's ahead of you here in North Carolina. Coming up in, just a few minutes from now, we're going to replay. Actually, had Auburn head coach Brian Harsin joined us yesterday in hour one. I know different people listen different times each day, so we're going to bring that back, play that in about 10 minutes. Bottom of the hour as well, Will Vandervoort coming on from the Clemson Insider. Going to talk Clemson and where they sit in the offseason as they are now into winter workouts, getting ready for spring practice and the spring game, and hopefully a much more normal existence in March and April. Remember, they had 9 practices last year, which kind of put them ahead of the pack with almost everybody. Appreciate in hour one, Richard Cross coming on from the SEC Network, also from the sidelines of the Ole Miss official radio broadcast. Ryan Fowler, Afternoon Drive host at 100.9 FM. There in Tuscaloosa. Right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now.
Headline, Clemson OC Elliott gets extension and raise. Boy, that's inadequate. He got a 3-year extension to what was already, I think he had 2 more years left on his contract, and so he got 3 more years. Folks, you have an offensive coordinator in college football heading into the season with 5 years on the books. And a raise to $2 million annually, that means that of the 3 assistant coaches in America making $2 million a year, up to 3, 2 of them are on the staff at Clemson. Of course, Brent Venables on the other side. Somebody's pay went down, though. Now a couple other people went up. But Danny Bierman, the tight ends coach and special teams coordinator, he has been moved to an off-field role. Mickey Kahn is now the special teams coordinator. And I'm trying to remember, he might have been coaching safeties. So the Clemson staff, there's a little bit of a rejiggering. And C.J. Spiller was approved. He is now officially an on-field coach as well. Headline, new congressional bill aims to make name, image, likeness, quote, a federal right for college athletes. From the state of Connecticut, one of their reps has introduced a congressional bill that, quote, with the fewest restrictions possible, would allow essentially an athlete on scholarship to function just like any other member of the student body at Washington State. That if you are a sophomore chemistry major and you made funny YouTube videos and Taco Bell wanted to sponsor you, you could say, all right, Taco Bell, you're a sponsor of my YouTube page because I'm a sophomore chemistry major and I'm funny. Now you can do that by saying, yeah, I'm a freshman quarterback. What you got, Taco Bell? Because I'm getting this from whatever Fred's House of Tacos, and then I've got this other off. So you could, at that point, you're in business, just like anybody else. That is the aim of it. Headline, LSU in signing day with 3 open spots. That was Ed Orgeron, and he had spoken before signing day saying, yeah, we may have 2 or 3 open depending on what happens. did not get the JUCO offensive tackle who signed with Texas A&M. So if the math is correct, based on what Ogeron said earlier in the week, LSU has three spots open, and they're going to jump into the transfer market. There's a chance there's another wide receiver, and we've talked about it, that they could still target and get. But for the most part, they're done. And, again, this is subject to transfer portal changes. But headline, and this is from on Wednesday, I think it was. Auburn sophomore Barrett switches to running back. Let me say he switches back to running back. And I think Devin Barrett, he was a high school quarterback maybe, who went to Auburn as a running back. And ahead of spring practice, they have announced that he had gone to, I thought, the secondary and then moved him to wide receiver. But with low numbers at running, which you never think that an SEC program will have low numbers at running back. With low numbers at running back, Devin Barrett has been moved to, he says, switches back after a couple of other stops to running back because, again, Auburn, you look at the depth chart right now, and with transfers and I mean, big name, like four-star kids, I think three of them right now. Is it Joyner, Asa Martin, and DJ Williams? Three four-star running backs over the past 2 years who have transferred out, and that's just kind of normal, so you got to restock the cupboard, and instead of going to either the transfer portal, which you may still do, or a high school kid, you said, hey, how about on our own roster? This guy's got a lot of experience. Consider yourself up to date. So that is going, like I said, ahead of spring practice. You are seeing some of these announcements made as brand new coaches. You go in and you look at tape from last year. This is, you know, one thing that we're going to talk about with Brian Harsin in just a little while, that you look at the tape from last year, if that's your approach. There are some coaches that don't want any part of watching last year's tape. There are some coaches that think, well, I just want to get my impressions and I know what position you play. And we'll go sort that out through a very basic and almost perfunctory spring practice, but we'll be ahead in the long run. I don't want to cloud my – that's not Brian Harsin. Went back, watched all the plays. You kind of get a download of what you personally think of the roster. And then you start moving positions. And it's one of the most valuable things you can do, whether it's a – you know, I've talked about how John Metchie, that kid needs to be playing safety. He may actually represent Alabama at SEC Media Days as a wide receiver. And I got to tell you, if he's a wide receiver, and he's going to be. If he's a wide receiver, I'm voting for him for all SEC. And I think he would be an even better safety. It brings up something, though, that when it comes to Nick Saban, and not anything with position changes, but I think this coming year, we may have sort of a flashback to a Nick Saban from a much earlier day in his head coaching career. As I'm recalling, his team won a national championship that season too. But there is a chance that this year's Bama offense, it could resemble LSU back in the day. And I'm talking about running four future NFL running backs. And that's what Ali Broussard would have been if he didn't hurt his knee, and then he might have hurt his knee a second time. But I'm trying to remember. It was Justin Vincent, Chiron Carey, Joseph Addai, and Ali Broussard. LSU won a national championship with that foursome. And, like, Justin Vincent was SEC – I want to say he was Sugar Bowl MVP, and he might have set a bowl game record. And that was the highlight of his football life. Joseph Addai went on to be a first-round NFL draft pick with the Colts. I think he's a first-round pick. And, again, Ali Broussard got hurt. Chiron Carey, again, but you looked at him and what they were on Saturdays in Baton Rouge, before injuries, before depth chart, whatever, what they were in Baton Rouge, they were four future NFL running backs. That may be what Alabama is basing their offense around this year. And if it's not four, it may be three, with a more than mobile quarterback, just a flat-out running quarterback. So there's a real good chance that we're having a little bit of a flashback to an approach that we saw Nick Saban take. Folks, that was almost two decades ago. That's when LSU was playing the home game in New Orleans against OU for a national championship. And Vincent went wild for 200 or whatever it was. And that's, I mean, you look at what he left behind as well. I mean, it was Keelan Williams averaging 7 yards a carry running third team. So that is just an idea in my mind, maybe three running backs plus Bryce Young, that I'm going to keep a real close eye on Tuscaloosa for a lot of reasons. We all will in spring practice, but I got a suspicion about what their offense may look like a little bit this year. All right, I told you we talked to Auburn head coach Brian Harsin yesterday. Wanted to bring it back in the second hour today. Different audience. Want to give everybody a chance to listen to it. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll be Auburn head coach Brian Harsin. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Want to welcome on right now, as a matter of fact, new head coach of the Auburn Tigers. It is Brian Harsin. Coach, welcome. How are you today?
Chuck, I'm doing well. How are you? And glad to be on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate your time. Talk about your recruiting class and the decisions, because there are a lot more ways for it. Used to be either give the Scholly, keep the Scholly for later, maybe reward a walk-on. But now with the transfer portal, it's gone from finishing off a class to some programs looking around going, I need 7 or 8 linemen.
Well, you go back, it's changed quite a bit. Go back to before we had the early signing period. And everything was done in February, then you added December. Then you have 2 signing periods, and now you have transfers. And exactly what you said, there's still opportunities for walk-on players to reward them. But there's just, you know, recruiting's changed. It's year-round. There's attrition. There's transfers. And there's other things along with the high school players that you're recruiting that just makes it where – as you put your roster together, you look at what your needs are, and then you go and try to find the right fits in your program. But you also have opportunities now where when signing's over, you can still recruit guys to those positions. And you know, that's where we are right now. We don't have the entire roster complete at this point. We have the guys that we've signed, and we're very proud of those guys and looking forward to having them here. Some are already on campus. But we'll continue through the spring, and we'll continue on until we have that 85 and those numbers, and especially going into this season with some of the super seniors that'll be a part of the program. That changes a little bit for 1 year, and then you're back on track in 22. So our thought process was let's get the best players right now. Let's get some needs in areas filled, and then let's continue to keep recruiting through the spring and, you know, see where we're at as we get through spring practice.
Chuck Oliver, continuing with Auburn head coach Brian Harsin. And I got to tell you, whenever there's a new head coach and he announces his coaching staff, it doesn't matter if it's me, fans, media, we all look and go, wait a minute, that guy's never coached in the South. There are other metrics to consider, and as you pointed out, there may actually be some benefit to kind of expanding a program's recruiting footprint to include the West Coast. But I got to tell you, when you put together a staff and it's not like 9 out of 10, you know, from Florida, Alabama, Texas, et cetera, it will get a Southern football fan's attention.
Well, No question. And certainly with our staff, we understand our area of recruiting. It starts right here in the state of Alabama, number one, and then the other areas around here. And we know that. We do have coaches that have recruited in the West, and there are connections there. There's coaches that have recruited in Texas, but we know where our footprint's at. It's right here in the state of Alabama, Georgia, and those surrounding areas, and Florida as well. So, but I also think the putting a staff together, recruiting is a large consideration in that. But at the same time, you want guys that want to be a part of this program, and you want coaches that can develop players. And I feel like that's what we found in this staff, great coaches, great men. They know how to develop. They have a plan for that. They understand the game. And, you know, they also can build relationships. And so the areas that we need to recruit, the coaches that we need to connect with, and the players and the families, these guys can do that. And then there is an opportunity for some national recruiting if there are players that we feel fit our program in other areas because of some of the connections that we built at other programs.
Wrapping up with Auburn head coach Brian Harsin, and I got to tell you, as an Auburn grad, I'm like, this next statement being true, it works for me. Spending more money doesn't necessarily guarantee better results on the field, but it can guarantee you a better football facility. Clemson spent $55 million, I think, about 5 years ago. Georgia's opening an $80 million facility. You got a $91 million facility, in the process of being built. Talk about the future of Auburn football, because somebody else is going to build a $110 million facility in the future, but as of now, I can't imagine anything you would want in a facility that's not included in that one.
Well, I think all those, as you're talking about it, with those programs, and certainly here, it's a commitment to the excellence that you want for your program. And certainly here at Auburn, that commitment's strong. And it's the facilities, it's the people, it's all those things that, from top down, that we approach as being first class. And so when you have an environment where, and that is the facility, where your players and people, recruits and families and coaches all get a chance to come and gather, and it's first class, I mean, that's what this program's all about. And those are going to be important pieces for our success in attracting the right people to be a part of our program. And I appreciate the commitment that Auburn has, and I appreciate, the things that we've talked about for the future of this program and how we want to build it. And certainly seeing that in action is important for our success. And I appreciate that. That's why I'm here and why our staff and everybody in this program is excited about the direction we're headed and being a part of Auburn football.
Last question for you, and I don't know if it was stated this blatantly in the interview process, but one of the goals that really touches every part of your job is, hey, go compete against Nick Saban in Alabama in some way every single day of the year. And you looked at that and said, yep, sign me up. Just talk about that dynamic.
Well, first of all, I think that's why we're here, and I think that's why everybody wants to be a part of this program. You get to compete at the highest level against the best competition, and it's not just one team in particular. It's all the teams we play, and that's our focus. And part of that, I remember that conversation, and at the same time, I was thinking about just our program and what we have to focus on, and really it comes back to Auburn. What do we have to do? There's a new staff. There's going to be changes in ways things have been done. We're bringing new players. And so our focus has to be on us. Our focus has to be on what we have to do so we can compete at the highest level. We can be the best football team that we possibly can be. And that goes back to each and every one of us understanding our area of responsibility and doing it to the best of our ability. So that's our focus right now. It's on us, what we have to do, the things that we're trying to implement, and each one of these guys and coaches staying focused on that. So when we do get to those games, and we will, we're prepared, ready, and we can go out there and play our very best.
Well, Coach, I know that to-do list is pretty lengthy. I appreciate you carving out some time today, man. Thank you.
All right, Chuck, thank you, and War Eagle.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live at Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. You know what it is, talking college football 2 hours a day. Been doing this since the beginning of the 2014 season, so I appreciate everybody putting that blessing in my life. Let's head out now from the Clemson Insider, good friend of the program. I want to welcome him back now. It is Will Vandervoort. Will, welcome. How are you today, man?
I'm doing good, Chuck. I just left the ESSO, man, so I'm a little stuffed, as you can imagine. You've been there quite a few times, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can feel the arteries loosen up, though, as you work through the rest of the day. So just kind of move around, walk around a little bit. You'll be okay. Let's talk about some headlines coming out of Clemson. How close was Tony Elliott to leaving? And how close has Venables maybe been in the past? Because they're both well paid now.
Yeah, to answer your question, Tony was probably closer than Brent Venables ever has been, to be honest with you. He was, from what, you know, I've gathered and talking to people, you know, in Tony's camp, that they were pretty much almost a done deal with Tennessee. And then it came down to just Tony and his wife wanting to make that move. And Tony just felt like that it really wasn't his time. And so he got with Coach Sweeney, told him what he wanted to do, and that he wanted to stay in Clemson a little bit longer. And then, you know, the rest of the story from that point.
I think that's a comment on DJ and the rest of the talent not only coming back in 2021, but also a guy like Will Shipley, if they got plans for him. I mean, that's sort of a comment on what you're coming back to.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think that had something to do with it because, you know, Brent Venables, you know, you asked about him too earlier. And one of the things Brent's always said, that it's really hard to leave a place like Clemson because you just have athletes at your disposal. And you're making good money. You got all these athletes, and you don't have to worry about the things the head coach worries about. And, you know, I think there is something to that with Tony. You know, he's got some weapons next year. DJ is going to be taking over, and they got they're going to have a more experienced offensive line. They're going to have more depth on the offensive line this year. They've recruited well there, so they should be better. And then they're just loaded with skill players at wide receiver. Now, you wonder where – you know, who's going to take the reign over for Travis Etienne at running back. I think that's going to be the number one question going into spring practice. But they got some pretty good guys coming in there as well, with Will Shipley leading the way as a five-star guy coming in with this current recruiting class.
Yeah, and, I mean, looks, you know, don't let him be deceiving. He's not a physically overwhelming kid. If you just look at him, he's about 5'11", just shy of 200 pounds. But what is the general idea about what may be possible? Because he was one of those, I think it's 19 kids in the class. They were all signed in December, and 11 or 12 of them were already enrolled, and Will Shipley was one of them. What's the general feeling about Shipley around the program?
Well, that, you know, they really like his upside. Like you said, he's not – really totally into his whole body type yet. Like, he's still got some room to grow and to get a little bit bigger. They want to see him get around 205, 210, kind of that Christian McCaffrey kind of size, if you will. They like the fact that he can He's already very skilled in the passing game, and that's going to be something different that they normally don't get with a running back coming right out of high school. But he kind of brings that element right to him. And so he's going to be definitely, I think, right off the bat, it's going to be like a third down weapon for him. Now the question is, we need to see what he can do as far as pass protection and things of that nature, because obviously college is a totally different beast. So, you know, when you're trying to read defenses and things of that. So, but they really like his skill set and what he can bring, not only to the running game, but what he can bring to the passing game. And that, I think that's why they're excited a lot about, you know, his potential.
Well, as I mentioned, Clemson signed 19 kids, and like I said, it all happened back during the early period. Are there plans going forward? Because I know some of the coaching staff sort of rejumble that Coach Perriman is now sort of in charge of transfers, which nobody's ever had to be in charge of transfers at Clemson. Are they going to do – they got ideas for these – any final spots?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing – you know, I don't think you're seeing anybody this year, but I think putting Danny Pierman in that situation, I think it's Dabo just – it's a position he's created that nobody else in college football really has right now. And I think what you're going to see, Chuck, is more teams start following Dabo's lead on that. And it's basically a guy who's designated to just watch the transfer portal. Find a kid who makes sense to Clemson. You know, Dabo's all about the Clemson culture, and he recruits to that culture. And so a lot of the kids – they bring in are kids that they feel like are going to come in and want to stay at Clemson. They're going to want to get their degree. It's not just about going to the NFL. And so I think that's Pierman's job, is to make sure they're getting the kids that come in with the right idea, the right mindset that will fit the culture and are not just trying to get a paycheck. And that's big for Dabo. And so yeah, that's what Pierman's job is going to be primarily. He's also going to do self-scouting too. With the team, like, so during the season, he'll be kind of breaking things down and going and reporting back to the coaches on some things they're maybe showing too much of or not doing enough of, and things of that nature as well.
Continuing, Will Vandervoort from TheClemsonInsider.com. Talk a little bit about the rest of the coaching staff, because there were, I guess, C.J. Spiller got added officially full-time, Mickey Kahn, new assignment, et cetera. Am I leaving anybody out?
No, yeah. So basically the regular position coaches, they kind of like, other than CJ, so what you had is you had Tony move to replace Danny Pierman as a tight ends coach. And Danny's been doing that since 2009 for Dabo. And then CJ comes in as the new on-the-field coach. And so he'll take over that role as running backs coach for Clemson, which I think is a good move for Dabo. What better guy to have representing you than C.J. Spiller, a guy who not only had great success at college at Clemson, but also you know, played 8 years in the NFL and had a very successful career in the NFL as well, was a all-pro in kick returns 1 year. So, you know, I think that's a smart move there. And then you know, the other things he's moved around, like, you know, Thad Turnipseed, who's he kind of a guy, he has in charge of external affairs and player development. He added on a couple things for him. Where, you know, he's going to help out with some different things with the program and on the recruiting side. And then, you know, just a couple other analysts they added. Andrew Zhao, who was a quarterback when Dabo was an assistant coach at Alabama there in the late 1990s. He's come in and is going to be a developmental coach. And Cole Stout, a former Clemson quarterback, has now come in. So, made some moves all the way around to kind of just, you know, and then one guy that's coming in that a lot of people recognize this name, especially in the Atlanta area, is a guy named Ted Roof, who's going to come on and be a consultant, a defensive consultant for Clemson this coming season. They're still working through that process, but that should be finalized here in the next few weeks, I would imagine.
Again, wrapping up with Will Vandervoort from The Clemson Insider. All right, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm saying not compared to, you know, other college programs, like normal college football programs, just compared to Clemson. 2020 Clemson wasn't the same, and I mean on either line of scrimmage. Can it look like what we're all used to again in 2021?
Well, I think the defensive line is pretty close to getting there. They, you know, if a lot of people think, well, it wasn't that great of a year, yet they finished in the top 10 in rushing defense. They led the country in sacks and the number two in the country in tackles for loss.
And were freshmen.
and they were freshmen. And I think, you know, there were some freshman mistakes. You saw that in their losses to Notre Dame and to Ohio State. But I think they're they're getting real close. I think you're going to see them really, especially with Xavier Thomas coming back for his senior year, and Justin Foster also coming back. Those guys are going to be healthy and ready to go, and they're just going to add to the depth of that defensive line, especially at defensive end. And then when you look at on the offensive side, you know, I mentioned recruiting. They brought in five-star Linthicum to be to kind of take over at center. They really like this kid. They think he's kind of like a Dalton Freeman kind of guy who, y'all guys remember, he was an All-American back in the early 2010s at Clemson. They really like him at that position. They think he's going to come in and really challenge for playing time right off the bat here and may take the job at the end of the spring for all we know. And then, you know, they got a couple other guys they brought in also on that offensive line, a couple four-stars. And then, you know, Lee is a five-star offensive tackle that they're really excited about. And they're hoping he can at least come in and compete and get himself in position to maybe win a job or at least be a real good second-team guy that they can bring in to help with depth. So they feel better about their depth on the offensive line going into the spring than they did last year at this time because they knew it was just a matter of getting those guys some experience, which, as Clemson always does, even when it looks bad, they still play those guys because they know they got to get them experience, and they did a lot of that last year.
Last thing, I asked you about Cornell Powell during the season, I know, but if you had to guess right now, is there a Cornell Powell on the 21 team? And I'm talking about a kid who maybe over the course of one regular season doubles his production from the previous three, four seasons combined.
Yeah, I would say the guy for me would be Braden Galloway at tight end, especially with Tony Elliott now going to be in charge of the tight ends. Let's just look at Tony Elliott's track record, right, Chuck? He's coached four All-ACC, first-team All-ACC running backs. Two are All-Americans, and one went on to, you know, to break the all-time records in the Atlantic Coast Conference. So Tony's shown some production and how he has progressed and made his players better for his position. So now he's moving over to tight end, and he's got a talented guy in Braden Galloway, who I just think wasn't used enough last year and in certain ways. And I think he's a guy that can come in. He had like 24, 23 catches this year. I could see him next year having 40-plus catches, maybe 500-600 yards receiving, because Tony's that kind of coach to me, and I think he's going to be able to coach up Braden Galloway and really put him in a position to shine. I think Davis Allen's another guy at tight end that I think could really – is really going to be benefiting from Tony's coaching.
Well, outstanding. We are going to have 14 practices in a spring game. Everybody's going to get it, I guarantee you, this year. And we will have you back on when all that's unfolding, okay?
All right, Chuck. Thanks as always, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Will Vandervoort from the Clemson Insider. And this is a little different. You know, I talked about Powell last year. His numbers and his even just the opportunity came from the Justin Ross injury. They were still, I'm not going to downgrade this because Justin Ross, outstanding player, but they were still wide receiver catches and wide receiver yards and wide receiver routes and touchdowns and everything else. If that player on the 2021 team is a tight end or two, Galloway and Davis, that's a different assignment for the defense over the course of a Saturday afternoon. That is a different monster for you to have to deal with for four quarters. And it's not something that you see often enough that it's a, quote, normal existence. It's like seeing a three-back offense now. It used to be 8 of your 10 games. I'm going back to the 60s. 8 of your 10 games would be that type of situation. Then it's where, like Paul Johnson, part of the reason that he won as much as he did, part of the reason that Navy can beat a team like Notre Dame once every couple decades, part of the reason that Air Force can extend the fight into the fourth quarter against big-time opponents is because you only see that, oh, gosh, the three-back offense again. Same sort of thing here. Tight ends being a featured part of it. I said the most practical application of that is – you could drop right now, anybody. You're a casual fan. All right, doesn't matter. I've never coached. Doesn't matter. How are you going to double a wide receiver? Well, I guess we'll do it this way. Now, you don't actually double them until the route would take you to where the second guy is, but this double team. And it's kind of standard. There's no great way to double team tight ends. Just no, it is a really good. Now, it's tough to have a tight end that makes it difficult on you. So difficult that you were thinking, all right, we got to put a second guy on him. A guy like maybe Gilbert can turn into at UF. Those guys are pretty rare. And when it is a tight end that you would want to double, at that point, you are creating giant holes in the back seven of the defense. No other way around it. So difficult to get those guys, but if you have them and you decide to feature them, which he may now at Clemson because he's coaching tight ends, it's a whole different assignment for the other team. That is for sure. All right, we take a break. We'll come back, wrap up on a Friday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
We're going to recruit Mississippi and sign the best players in Mississippi. And some years it'll be more, some years it'll be less. And this just didn't happen to be a big year. But also, you know, in an initial press conference, told you guys that, you know, we're going to be a national program.
Lane Kiffin, my guy at Ole Miss. And
hey, baby.
I'm going to take suspicion and all other negative approaches out of my reaction to that quote, because I just think he's being honest. And he's saying, you know, some years it'll be more in Mississippi, but we want Ole Miss to be a national program. That's true, and Ole Miss needs to be a national program. There aren't enough players in the state at the level that you need. I'm talking about an SEC game wrecker. You're just not good. He was, by the way, that was Lane Kiffin talking with Josh Pate from 24/7. There just aren't enough SEC game wreckers of that caliber in the state of Mississippi on a consistent rolling basis for you to win anything of consequence, partly because you just happen to be in the SEC and the West. This year, the seventh highest rated player in the state is a three-star kid, MJ Daniels, who I think he's a cornerback, maybe? I think? That's what he was projected when I believe it was a Mississippi State commit earlier, and they were talking about him being a cornerback. He's a big kid, 6'3", 200 pounds. So I have no idea what he's going to do. He's listed as an athlete. A three-star kid that you're not 100% certain how it works out for him, even position-wise. That's the seventh highest-ranked player in the state. So while he says, we're going to dominate Mississippi, he doesn't want to dominate Mississippi because you're comparing your haul of Mississippi high school players to everybody else's haul from that group. We got more. Well, there are years that's, and I'm going to say most years. I think it was the 18 class. N'Kobe Dean and just some unbelievable players. I think that was 18. And it was a generational sort of class there in Mississippi. But it got noticed because it was the best class they had in 20 years. And it looked a whole lot like a class from Louisiana in sort of a normal year. Or a class from Georgia in kind of a down year. Numbers-wise, quantity-wise. So he's saying what you're supposed to, and I've always said that when you're talking to fans or booster groups or you're the media, you're getting that message out. I almost give you not a pass on what you say because you can still get yourself and your program in trouble. But as far as just trying to fire up people, I don't say whatever you want. And he said, we're going to recruit the state of Mississippi and dominate. Well, in the right year, and that's when he went on and said, yeah, some days it'll be more. But we're going to be national because you have to. Because if you're Ole Miss and you're going to try to win something that you really value, at the least a division,
if that's what you're going to do, yeah, go to California and get Matt Corral. Go to Philadelphia and get Kenny Yeboah for 1 year. I don't care. So just a tremendous job by Lane Kiffin in year one. Like I said, he got a lot of excitement with no on-campus recruiting, nothing going on, no in-person, nothing. I'm talking about going to high school campuses, having any of the kids on for visits, none of it. Not going to homes. Did a real good job of keeping Ole Miss very relevant, was able to at least some of the players that he targeted in-state, able to get them. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and consider that my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Wherever you are in the Deep South, whether it's Florida or Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Dan Matthews, how are you?
Oh, not too bad as we close out the week. And, you know, Chuck, I got to thinking yesterday after I got the news out of Clemson of the contract extension for Tony Elliott and other people going different places, which, by the way, too, I mean, we just talked about this Will Vandervoort. How about former Astros third baseman Billy Spires on the staff for Dabo Swinney? So
His son is that punter.
Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah. And he was a punter himself at Clemson as well. So truly a utility man during his playing days and showing as much as well with his work with the Clemson program. He's been with Dabo for years. But Dabo's got what we would consider to be a good problem to have because, Chuck, me and you both know when it's going bad for you, there are levels to show you as a coach that it's going bad and the trend is going in the direction where soon enough, a certain direction is going to be taken where he is not going to be the head coach there anymore. And one of them for the chance that they're not going to be there anymore is when the coach is approached by the administration saying, you got to change up your coordinators. And once you change up your coordinators, there is no other straw for you to pull. It is either it works or it doesn't, and they find somebody else who makes it work. For Dabo, it's the good problem to have because we've seen it for years with Nick Saban where it's almost yearly where he's not having to replace a coach. He's having to replace coaches. And this year is just another example of that. But for Dabo, last year, loses his offensive coordinator to go become – or excuse me, co-offensive coordinator to go become the head coach at South Florida. This year, he's got to break off Tony Elliott because he knew that Tennessee was at least kicking the tires enough to at least pique his interest so much that it was reported that he was already gauging other coaches' interest of moving on. And now the next step for this is that Dabo will become Nick Saban in this where soon enough – you got to believe that Tony Elliott will say yes to somebody and he will move on. And then also, too, you wonder if when Brent Venables' son moves on from the program, if he decides for himself, you know what? Hey, maybe it is time for me to show coaches and show college football what I can do as a head coach because we've played pretty good defense here at Clemson, and it's been the reason why we've won a couple of national titles along with the great offense that they've had at the time, where I think that eventually that will come for him. And then that is going to be the next challenge for Dabo Swinney is how good of a coach are you now when you haven't had the guys who have been around you for the longest time?
Ain't no doubt about the unusual nature of Dabo being able to hold on to his coordinators, especially Brent Venables, who it's been 5 years now. Teams have been trying to bird dog him, get him off that staff, and he has resisted the overtures. And now with his son and being on the team and all that, it's all kind of coming home for him, the reason that he put that long-range plan together. And with Elliott, you know, Jeff Scott leaving and going down to South Florida kind of put a little bit more of a focus and responsibility on him. And I mean, my gosh, they still made it to the playoffs, and the only game they lost was, what, in overtime without the number one overall pick? So just a really good debut season flying solo there with Tony Elliott. All right, wraps it up on a Friday from Harris Cherokee, the book. Harris Cherokee up in Cherokee, North Carolina. Again, a little preview weekend ahead of the Super Bowl. Love being here. Going to be back throughout the entire year. Our Friday home ahead of huge sporting events right here at Harris Cherokee.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.